looking at this opening chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And last week, if you recall, we had 3 points that we considered. And it was that Jesus walked. If you recall how Jesus walked, and we considered who it was that was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He had come up from Judea in the south and made his way north up into Galilee, and Jesus walked. We considered that he walked, and he came to these disciples at a time when it was a dark moment for them, because they had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. We saw that when he walked, he saw. And Jesus saw things not as you and I would see things. You and I would see a boat. Jesus saw a pulpit where he would preach from. And above all, he saw the great need that there was, as the crowd and that were following. They were needing a shepherd. They were also needing a net cast out. They were needing the gospel net as they were found being tossed about in the sea of this world. So we noticed that Jesus, we saw secondly that Jesus saw. And then we noticed that Jesus said, he said to these disciples, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. He commanded them. It wasn't a request, it was a command. And we saw how he gave Peter some consolation, because Peter, remember, had gone out and brought in the great net full of fish. We read this in Luke's Gospel. And how Peter knew he was in the presence of one who was more than just a man. And he says, come, he says, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man, depart. And we see how the Lord comforted him. He said to Peter, fear not, Peter. Don't be afraid. And he gave him the promise. So last week, we saw Jesus walked, Jesus saw, and Jesus spoke. Today, what we want to do is ask 3 questions. First of all, why fishermen? Why fishermen? We see that he calls Peter and Andrew, and they forsake their nets and they follow him. We need of them casting their nets. We need elsewhere of them washing their nets. We now find James and John mending their nets. And they're all doing different things. But the one thing is, they all forsake their nets. And they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They forsake their nets. But why fishermen? Why does the Lord Jesus call fishermen? Secondly, why call them at all? Why this call? And to what are they called? And then thirdly, why do they follow him? We are told that immediately, straight away, and that word is used in verse 18 and again used in verse 20, and straight away he called them and they left their father in the ship and they went after him. So immediately they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Let's then look first of all at why fishermen. The Lord Jesus comes down to the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are pushing in upon him, and he sees fishermen, and he sees a boat, and he preaches from that boat, and then he tells them to go out and cast out their nets into the deep, and they come back with a great catch of fish. And Jesus says to them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Why? Why fishermen? If you today want to progress any society, whether it be a political party, whether it be charity, who do you go to? You go to the great and the mighty, don't you? Political parties are great for roping in sort of well-known celebrities, pop stars, men of some renown, that they can endorse their cause. But not Jesus. Is it that Jesus is here just endorsing the working class? Perhaps the gospel is just for the working class. Perhaps it's just for those who are like fishermen or such like. Why would Jesus not call someone from the great and the mighty? Why not some kings? Well, the fact is, he does. The fact is, he does. You go later on and you find someone like Barnabas. Barnabas was born in Cyprus. And we are told that he followed the Lord and he sold land that he had in Cyprus. He was obviously a man of some substance or wealth. Here was a man who was well off. Barnabas was a man that had money. And indeed, the Apostle Paul later on says in 1 Timothy and in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "And God, who would have all men to be saved." Now, he's not saying that everybody's going to be saved. He's not even saying that God is going to have all men to be saved. Nor that he wants all men to be saved, but there are all kinds of men. Whether they be kings. We can pray for kings. We can pray for those in authority. We can pray for the high and the mighty. We can pray for all kinds of men, because God would have all men, kinds of men to be saved. So it can't be that when Jesus calls these fishermen, that he's trying to make some kind of point that it's only for the working class. Why then is he calling fishermen? Maybe it's because, you know, when you go to the lair, and if you were going to get someone to follow you, surely you would want someone who was learned. You would want someone who was who had someone of letters, someone with a degree, someone that was very wise. You go to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. You discover that when Peter and John are preaching there, what is it that they say of them? They marvel. What is it that they marvel at with regards to these men? He says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." These weren't very knowledgeable, they weren't learned, they didn't have letters after their name. Perhaps Jesus is making a point that today in the ministry we shouldn't bother with all the teaching and learning. Is Jesus making a point here that the ministry is not for the learned? We shouldn't be bothering with all of that. And why did Jesus not call someone that had sat at the feet of Gamaliel? Well, of course, he did. He called Saul, a learned man. Saul, who was his Paul, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You could have had, and you know, perhaps Gamaliel had never had a student like Saul before. Perhaps the only person that Gamaliel had ever heard or witnessed before that was as intelligent as this man Saul was a 12-year-old who went into the temple. It's likely that Gamaliel was there and had seen and witnessed the Lord Jesus. And this 12-year-old comes in, and the great wise men, they marvel at the knowledge of this young person. Perhaps Gamaliel is one. But Saul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And Saul was a very learned man. So Jesus here, when he comes and he calls these fishermen, he's not making some point about their about the ministry or about the call to be an apostle. Why then is it that the Lord Jesus Christ calls fishermen? We're still left with the question. We're still stuck with the question. If it's not because he's making some point about the working class, if it's that he's not making the point about learning, what is it? Why is it that that Jesus here calls these fishermen? Well, I think you'll get the answer to that in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, you have a picture there of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, he dreams, and God speaks to him in this dream. And what does he see in the dream? He sees a candlestick. You know, in the temple, in the tabernacle, when you went into the temple, there was a candlestick, the golden candlestick that was on the left-hand side. You had the table of showbread on this side, and you had the great candlestick on this side. Zerubbabel sees the candlestick. He sees more than just the candlestick that's in the temple, because he sees something else. He sees a golden candlestick. And you see two olive trees either side of the candlestick. And you see the candlestick being fed with the oil and giving the light. What's that signify? It's telling us, Zerubbabel is told. Zerubbabel says, what does this mean? And the Lord says, the angel of the Lord says to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, the church and all her glory, fed by these two trees, and the two trees are most likely Zerubbabel and Joshua. In other words, the priestly office and the kingly office coming together. But it is not by the might of Zerubbabel or Joshua that God's house is going to be built. And it is not by might nor by power that the church itself is going to be built. It is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And right at the outset, Jesus picks these fishermen, and they are going to be mighty apostles, casting out the gospel net into the world. Jesus himself is going to make them what they will become. And it is not by might nor by power that the church will be built. And what is true of our Lord's day is equally true today. The church of Christ is not built by the might of man. It is not built by the power of man. It is built by the preaching of the gospel being blessed by the Spirit of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, when it comes to building God's house and bringing sinners into this net, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us right at the beginning that there is the need for the work of the Spirit in regeneration, in sanctification, in glorification, in every aspect of the church's work, in bringing sinners into this net, in establishing the truth, and establishing the church. It is the work of the Spirit. My friend, here today, unless there is the work of the Spirit in your heart, you are yet a stranger to God's grace. Today, you need the work of God's regenerating Spirit. And that's not something that a minister can do, a church can do. It is not even something that these apostles themselves could do. They were but fishermen. But Jesus gave them a promise. You will become fishers of men. Not because of what you are. I will make you to be fishers of men. But it's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit alone that the church will be kept. My friend, today, the church needs the Spirit of Christ. Your heart needs the Spirit of Christ. You need to be born again by the Spirit. You need the power of God's Spirit in your life. And you need what man cannot do, but what Christ can do by the Spirit. To have the Word of God blessed to your soul. To have the truth blessed to your heart. And that brings us to the second point. why the call in the first place. When Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew, he says, "Come ye after me." That is, follow me. That's the call that he gave to these disciples, to come and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you're not going to be asked this morning to follow Jesus, to be an apostle. These men had already met the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew, at least, had been an apostle, had been a disciple of John the Baptist. He went and, as we saw last week, brought Peter to Jesus. They already knew Jesus. And it is likely that they already were ready to follow him. But it doesn't matter what call, whether it is that first call when they meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it is the call now when they are called to be apostles, it doesn't matter. Whenever you are confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you a call. And that call is to follow him. That call is to follow him. Now that call to you this morning may be the very first call, that is to forsake all and to come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that you are already following the Lord Jesus Christ and he is still calling you to continue to follow him. Whoever we are this today, we are called to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Come and follow me. What does it mean when he says, come and follow me? It is that you are to put your trust in him. Faith, you see, is our putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. Remember when Abraham, we've got a wonderful picture of that in Abraham, in Hebrews chapter 11, when we are told that by faith Abraham forsook and left out of the Chaldees, not knowing whithersoever he was going. By faith he left out of the Chaldees, trusting in God, trusting that God knew what was best for him. That was faith. When a soul first comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, it is that you come and you lay your trust upon him alone for all your salvation and nothing else. It is the soul that comes and lays hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and you are saying that I trust in nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. Because if you put your trust anywhere else, it's like shifting sand. And it is a foundation that will collapse. It is to come. Do you know that the impala, the African impala, is an animal in Africa, and it can jump 10 feet in the air. It can jump 10 feet. But do you know, you can keep that animal contained by a wall that's 3 foot high. It can jump over the wall. There is no problem with it jumping the wall. It can jump 10 feet in the air. But you can enclose it with a wall or a fence that's 3 foot high. Why? Because that impala will not jump unless it sees what's over the other side. Unless it can see where it's going to land, it won't go. But you see, Abraham didn't know where he was going. He left out of the Chaldees, not knowing where the Lord would take him, but by faith he went. My friend, how many walls 3 foot high are stopping us from following the Lord Jesus Christ because we don't see what's over the other side and we don't follow him? How many worldly things are there in the world that are keeping us from following the Lord Jesus Christ? They're 3 foot high and you won't cross over it because you don't know what's there. You won't by faith follow the Lord. Well, the Lord Jesus called these disciples and said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Did they understand where the Lord was going to take them? Did they comprehend what it meant to follow the Lord? Did they understand that they would go down to Jerusalem that there would be that dark night in Jerusalem where Christ would be crucified? No, they didn't. But they followed him. Because they trusted in the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, come and follow me. Be ye followers of me. And I will make you fishers of men. And how wonderful that the Lord uses the employment, the experience, all that they had before. They were fishermen. They were experienced fishermen. They knew what it was to go out into the rough seas. They knew what it was to cast out their nets. They knew what it was to bring in these nets and to mend them and to fix them and to wash them. He says, now I'm going to make you fishers of men. But you don't need to. You don't need to fix the net here. And you don't need to wash the net here, because I'm going to give you a net that you don't need to fix. You just need to cast it out. You don't need to tamper with that net. You need to bring that. You need to haul that net back in. But you don't need to fix it, because it's a perfect net. It's the gospel net. And I'm going to, you will go out and you will use everything at your, that you have experienced in this world up until this time. You will use all the experience and all the gifts that God has given to you, and you will now use them in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. My friend, what gifts has God given to you? What experience in this world has God laid to your hand up until this point in time? I'm not saying you're going to be called to be an apostle. And yet you won't be. And you're not going to be called to be a minister of the gospel. You're not going to be called to be an elder or a deacon or any of these things. But whoever you are, God is calling you to use all your experience and everything that he has given to you in this world at the disposal of his kingdom. It might be that all the Lord is calling on you to do today is to pray, to bring the gospel and the ministry of the gospel to the throne of grace. Is that what God is calling you to do today? He has given you the spirit of prayer to come and to pray and to use what experience, whatever it is that you have, and to use it in the furtherance of his kingdom. Well, then they were to faith itself. They were to trust in the Lord, and they were to follow him. But why did they follow him? That's the third thing. If we've seen that why fishermen? It's fishermen because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Why this call? Because God is going to test them. He's going to call upon them to trust in him, that they would follow him, that they would use all the experience that God has given to them in this world in the furtherance of his cause. But why is it that they follow him? Look, it says straightway they follow him. Straight away they abandon everything that they have. You remember in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, one of the disciples came and says, I want to go back and bury my father. He's probably not dead, but he's in the throes of death. And the Lord says to him, let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me. It doesn't matter what relationship there may be here. And these two brothers, John and James, and they're in the ship with their father, and they're to forsake Zebedee, their occupation. You come and follow me, he says. Even the closest relationships have to take second place to the call that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. You see, even the young people here, you know the account of the rich young ruler. Wasn't he? He was a man who was well respected. He had everything. He had life. He had ahead of him. He had money. He had all these things ahead of him. But there was still one thing that was missing. And Jesus says to him, go and sell all that you've got. That was the test that was put to him. What test is the Lord putting before you today? That you're putting before following the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there in your life that you are placing, and you're maybe going away sad because you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's something in your life that you're not really willing to give up? You're going to put that before you the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always something, you know, that you will put before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will either follow him, or there's something that you will put there ahead of him. This young ruler, he went away sad because the Lord says, you go and sell all that you've got, and you come and you follow me. Why did these disciples follow him? Well, it's not just that Peter, when we've read and seen already that when Peter came back in off the boat with this great massive draw of fish, and he recognises that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he recognises something of who it is that's in front of him, and he splashes out of that boat and he comes up and he says, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus comforts him and says, fear not. You see, one of the reasons why Peter and James and John and Andrew follow is because of the power and the authority with which he spoke. You see, in the next verses, and we're going to look at that, God willing, as the Lord will enable us, when Jesus went into the synagogue, do you know what's said about him? He spoke as no man speak. He didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees because he spoke with authority. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they say, but I say unto you. You see, he spoke with authority and with power. And it was more than just that Peter and Andrew and James and John, or particularly we see it in Peter, that he has awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person can have awe of the Lord Jesus Christ and not follow the Lord. A person can come out of that fishing boat and run to the Lord Jesus and bow down and say, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Maybe you can say that today, but the question is, when the Lord then commands him to do something, he does it. There's obedience. You see, obedience is better than all sacrifice. To be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ is better than all sacrifice. And you know, you notice something, that as the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's likely that when he came to James and to John, he used the same words, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. It's likely that he's used the same words to them as he previously used to Peter and to Andrew. And look at how cheerfully they obey the Lord. There's no objections. There's no conditions. There's no hesitation. There's not even an inquiry. Come and follow me. Come after me. Well, where are we going? There's not even an inquiry. They cheerfully obey the voice of the Lord. Do you today cheerfully obey the voice of Jesus Christ? Not only do they cheerfully do that, they immediately do it straight away. There is not a moment to lose. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and that call to follow him demanded an answer there and then. It demanded that they would forsake all and that they would follow him. I wonder what the Lord would have said to them had they said, I'll follow you, but I'll do it when I'm retired. You know, once I finish with the fishing, and once I'm 65 or 60, or when I'm older, I'll follow you. I wonder what the Lord would have said to that. I can imagine what the Lord would have said to them. He would have said, depart from me. Go. You have no part in anything that I would have for you. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time when the Lord Jesus demanded and commanded them to come and follow him. That was the time that they had to follow him, not tomorrow, the next day, or any other day. And that's true of any of us here today. When the Lord addresses us and solemnly commands us to follow him, to believe in him, to trust in him, he doesn't say do that tomorrow or the next day or another day. He says today is a day. And that following him wasn't only cheerful and immediate, it included self-sacrifice. They had to forsake their ships and their boats. They had to their occupation, their nets. And, you know, that's why I said earlier on, you know, you read of them casting their nets, you read of them mending their nets, you read of them washing their nets, and now they were commanded to forsake their nets. Now, the Lord may not, we're not fishermen, and the Lord won't ask you or demand of you what he demands of me or somebody else. But what is it that the Lord is what self-sacrifice is the Lord demanding of you today as a Christian? Is he demanding that you forsake all and follow him? What is there that because when he called them, there was that distinct call given to them. They were to go, and they were now to be called fishers of men. Fishers of men. All things are made new. They had new nets that they would now use. Not the nets that were cast out into that sea, but the gospel net that needed no mending, needed no washing, just needed to be cast out. They had new means for new employment. They had a new catch. No longer the fish of the Sea of Galilee, but a far more precious catch. They were now to be fishing for souls. And my friend, what would it gain you were you to what would it profit you were you to gain the whole world and lose your soul, the preciousness of the soul? They were now to be apostles and to go out and be fishing for souls. And now they had a new master. Their master wasn't the storms of the sea. They had been out all night fishing, they get nothing. The sea and the winds and the wave had mastered them. But now they would go out and they would be fishers for men, and they had a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to suggest to you, faith, says John Calvin, is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. You see, they weren't really being called, first and foremost, to be fishers of men, were they? That wasn't the call. People say the disciples were called to be fishers of men. Well, they were, but that was secondary. The first and foremost call that they had was, come and follow me. That was the first call. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, I will make you to be fishers of men. A new call, new labour, new nets, a new catch, a new master. They were now going to be called to be apostles. But you know, when the Lord calls a sinner to himself, the apostle says, all things are new. All things are new. You now have a new life. You now have a new master. You now have a new occupation. The greatest occupation you could have. The furtherance of the kingdom of God. And everyone in that kingdom has its place to play. And we surely all would seek above all else that we would follow the Lord Jesus, that he would be our master, that we would follow after him, and in following after him, he may ask us to come to that wall that's that height, but you jump over it by faith, knowing that where he will take you, he will never forsake you. And as you go, it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee that all the questions that arise in our hearts Why fishermen? Why did he call them? Why did they follow him? We bless thee that in all these things thou hast a purpose, that thou wilt cast out the gospel net, that thou wilt bring the good and the bad to shore. And we pray and ask, O Lord, today, that we would be caught in that gospel net, the good news of salvation, and that we would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us today. Undertake for us in the week ahead. Pardon us our sins.
Lord, I lift my soul.